integrative health info at its best. It's time for It's Your Health, and it ain't rocket science with Dr. Decker Weiss and Dr. Holly Lucille.
When I think of connecting relaxation to overall health, first of all, I think of Dime Store Halo. That is Julie Newmark's music bringing us in, and that helps me relax. I love it. I throw it in and I jam it on as I head out for the morning. Wakes me up. And we are talking today about relaxation and its connection to overall health. Holly, I look at stress as a cause. It can cause a lot of diseases, but I look at it is something that also amplifies any existing genetic or chronic condition. When I describe it to my patients, if you have a little diabetes plus stress, you have a lot more diabetes. If you have a little bit of heart, you know, chest pain, when you're under stress, you're going to have more. Those are those things. And we are looking about not just connecting our audience today, relaxation to their health, but also giving them some help, huh?
Absolutely. I think what's going to be really important for this segment and for our listeners is to understand that, yes, stress, but yes, de-stress. That's the important thing. I was a guest actually on a radio show earlier this morning, a little Dallas station. We were talking all about stress. And it really, you know, I got to tell you, it never gets old. It just doesn't. It's one of those things when stress occurs, and stress, I do think in our modern day needs kind of a new definition. I don't really have it, so I'm sorry. I'm going to fall flat there. But what happens is, as we know, the body releases all sorts of hormones, catecholamines, cortisol, norepinephrine. And these hormones and these chemicals signal that ultimate fight or flight feeling within the body. And quite honestly, we're not fighting anything or flying anywhere. We could be sitting behind a computer screen or, you know, missing a parking spot or wanting to strangle our teenagers' necks because the room isn't clean. Like, we aren't going anywhere and all of this stuff is building up. So what happens? Your blood pressure increases, your pulse rate increases, your breathing starts to get a little bit more shallow, and stress will end up overall affecting your health. And I think what's really important, like I said, stress, yes, but we've got to learn to de-stress. And there's so many efficient practices that you can try. And I've always said about this, well, not always, because it's kind of, it's new for me. It's not quantity, Decker. It's not, hey, I'm going to get as much relaxation and parasympathetic, opposite of sympathetic, as I am the sympathetic reaction, but it's the quality and consistency. That means a lot of times when I'm working with patients, hey, exercise 3, 4, 5 days a week, you got to take some time off. When it comes to relaxation, you have to make a concerted effort every day. That's consistency to get the quality. And we can talk more about that. But what do you think?
Well, what I think is, number one, medically handled it terribly. Holly and I, just listeners out there, we're naturopathic doctors, but we consider ourselves a subset of all doctors, okay? That's the way we put ourselves in here. We don't judge other people on what they do. We do our best to be good at what we do every day. But as doctors, what did we do for years? We said, patients, go home and work on your stress. And that mocked it almost, and it basically made it sound to the people like, oh, that was something that was easy, whatever. Instead, what we should have been doing is, here's these techniques, here's these habits that you need to do. They asked the Dalai Lama, how'd you get so kind? And he said, practice. Okay, when you see people out there, and I love that quote, and stress applies that too. How did you get that ability to relax even though you have a stressful life? Practice. It's going to require time and practice. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think we got it wrong. I think we did maybe some disservice out there, and perhaps that's why they call it practice. When we, you know, lawyers so have true. A practice, thank doctors you. Have a practice. You know, we don't come out of the gates and we aren't proficient. We call them practices. But here's the thing. I think we might have done a disservice by saying, oh, moderate your stress. Because I think that can get really stressful for some people who are up against the wall when it comes to finances, relationships, coping skills in general, not having the life experience of boundaries or, you know, those things taught in formative years from great parents, perhaps. Yeah. And it gets a little bit, you know, frustrating to go, oh, I know I need to do this. This is great for my health, but hey, I can't. So what can we do? Okay, here's a couple things. And I know in my practice, and certainly with folks that I talk to, when I say meditation, it might make them sort of run, cartoon character cut out, you know, through a barn door. the other way because they're like, right. Well, that's going to stress me out too. But think about things like this. A couple minutes of progressive relaxation. I'm going to give you a personal experience. Now, right before I tuned into this show, I had 10 minutes and I could have, you know, slammed out a couple emails, made a couple calls, shot up here into the studio and got in position. But you know what I did? I sat on the couch. I focused on each and every muscle group I had. I tightened it. I relaxed it. I focused on breathing. This is 2 minutes out of the 10 that I had. And I got to tell you, it made such a difference. So progressive relaxation, that's called. Also, guided imagery. Last night, I couldn't sleep very well. They're raining here. There was a couple that I could hear from down the street actually fighting like at 3 o'clock in the morning. And what I started to think about was something very pleasant. I have some friends that I love visiting over Labor Day, and we were thinking about, hey, what are some things? What's the itinerary for the weekend? What's that great? And so I just started thinking about them being here, thinking about perhaps some of the events that we could do, how it could fit into the time that we had together and it not be too stressful or packed, but really pleasant. And I went to sleep focused. You know, I sort of tuned everything out. And so that is an example of guided imagery. Mm-hmm. And there are so many other easy practices. No, please.
But I want to add something really quick to that. The name guided imagery sounds intimidating. It's like, oh my God, guided imagery. I'd have to take a class. I'd have to move to Nepal, all that.
Right.
No, all we're talking about is emptying your mind and focusing on maybe one thing, one piece, a relaxing moment, and repeating that loop over and over in your head. Yes, you can probably do it better with teachers and books and things like that, but it's not something you can't try tonight. Or when you're laying in bed and your mind is racing, focusing on a really good time you had, maybe a time you were at the ocean or your first time you met a loved one or whatever that is, and looping that over and over and just sounding everything out. You know what I do, Holly, that works for me? It's the craziest thing because it's about practice and what works for you, is when anything tries to pop into my head I don't like, I picture myself clicking on it and throwing it into the wastebasket on a computer screen.
Oh my gosh.
Just keep clicking there and do it, and it works.
Oh, so it goes into your trash.
Yeah, it goes into my trash, because what is it? It's trashy thoughts that are going to keep me from going to sleep. And the older I get to keep weight and muscle and all that stuff, I know I need to sleep, and I'm not good at it. So I do the guided imagery, I'm throwing the trash in. But that's an example of something that I've never heard of before. I just thought of one day, and it's worked for me for now 10 years.
No, see, I think that that's brilliant. One of the things that I catch myself, and I think what we're ultimately talking about when we're talking about linking relaxation to overall health is self-soothing. You know, there's a lot of things that can trigger us into anxiety and depression ultimately, and then just overall stressors. These consistent, okay, let's talk about it again, consistent quality exercises that self-soothe. Here's one thing that I catch myself doing all the time. I think it's stressful when we start getting very negative about somebody or something else, where we start. So my friend Tori Hudson, she's a colleague of ours. We call that Jekylling. You know how we start to Jekyll. It's almost like if you're talking to yourself, thinking to yourself, or actually talking to somebody else, it's kind of like gossiping. And I think it's human characteristic. I think it's a defense mechanism for the most part. I think that sometimes, you know, so what can we do? I call it Jekylling. I catch myself. And as you say, I put it into the trash. I get curious about why I'm thinking that way. Mm-hmm. And I start to just stop. Even that control, start that discipline out of great. Bad habits is so good because it doesn't add fuel to our fires.
We've been talking about connecting relaxation to overall health. We've talked about techniques to do it. We also talked about that stress is an amplifier to existing medical conditions and also can cause about every disease out there, be the underlying cause. The simple truth is, search out a variety of different techniques and practice them. If you expect to get to 70, 80 years old in good health, you're going to have to counter stress, not just try and adapt to it, but counter your stress with some of the techniques you've mentioned. And that's how we're going to help keep you well, so you can listen for a lot of years to Radio MD and look at us at RadioMD.com.